Welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm Bits.
Bits in the house.
Episode 5 in the house.
I think that we came off of last week after having spoken about it being like, that maybe wasn't the best episode ever, but I am excited to talk about this one because it feels like we're back to Top Chef form.
Yeah, this episode is infamous.
Infamous. But before we get to it, we need to just cover up on one leftover.
Yeah, this was my bad.
So we did some forensic accounting of the episode, aka Bits and I watched the episode on a shared screen. And we saw that at 2 minutes and 86 seconds or whatever, which isn't actually, it's not going to be 86. Let's call it 52 seconds. There is an image of the glass door that leads into the Canlis restaurant. And Bits had said, did you see that there's a giant C on a piece of paper? Essentially indicating that they had a C rating from the health department. And as it turns out, Bits was wrong,
which is a decal,
which is something that I rarely get to say. But yeah, it was just the logo decal of a C on the door.
It kind of gave the vibe of like a piece of paper behind a glass.
Folded,
I don't know,
ever so slightly.
Folded ever so slightly. I don't know. It really tripped me up. But I'm glad we figured that out because that was like my only reasoning for that was, is it required? Was it required by law that they have to show that?
Well, you are required by law to show your health rating. I'll never forget the cafeteria at my old office. My old office had like,
oh God,
which Bits went to. I feel like you went there a few times. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Post COVID, like I would never think to like go to your office.
Right.
But you like, it was after work. You came and then we went out.
Yeah.
Anyway, in my old office, like 8 years ago, there was a cafeteria sort of in the middle of the office where we would all sit and eat lunch every day. And it was a brand new office, so it hadn't yet been rated by the health department. And I remember they sent an email out saying the health department's going to be coming this week and rating the cafeteria. So like, please be on your best behavior. Like if you see, doesn't matter. They just warned us that the health department was coming. So we all knew that grade was pending. And then the following week, we get an email saying like, the health department needs to come for a second time. And we were like, the whole company is like, that feels weird. Like they don't need to follow up. By the way, have you ever looked at the difference between an A, B, and C rating?
Yeah, I mean it's pretty large. Like,
well, it's also pretty like, I mean,
it's hard to not get an A.
It's hard to not get an A. Like you need to have like visible rodent droppings in the food to get a B, you know? Yeah. And so God only knows what a C is, but.
Yeah, can you
imagine? So then someone looked up and there's like a someone in the office took it upon themselves to look it up because it's like a public database that you can see every single restaurant in New York City and what their rating is. And the cafeteria at my old office got like a C rating.
Oh my God. Shocked they did that for an office.
Well,
but I guess
because
it's a big enough company.
Well, I think that any place that's like serving hot food needs to have a health rating.
That's crazy.
And so they were coming back because I think if you get a C rating, you have like 30 days to dispute it. Or like if you get anything other than an A, okay, you have a time period to dispute it and they come again quickly and look. And so lo and behold, they came back. I'm pretty sure we ended up getting an A rating. The company said that it was because like there wasn't a kitchen there. They were bringing in food and serving it hot. And so it was something about the storage. But like,
okay,
I don't know about that one.
Spidey senses are tingling.
Well,
with
that,
it stopped
me from eating the soup.
It did not. Soups. I think let's talk about some Top Chef.
Okay, fine.
Shall we get into this?
Okay.
Ep?
Point taken. You're like a waiter putting the check.
Dude,
on
your
the
mom
table.
Is in the back of my head. Like we're too long.
Oh, okay, mom. We're moving it along. Let's begin.
Okay, Nancy. Amuse Bouche reactions, episode 5.
I'm gonna keep it amuse, bite size, because we're just trucking, and I know I can be long winded. My amuse bouche was like fun and spicy.
Mmm. Okay. I thought you were describing your amuse-bouche. That was the amuse-bouche.
That was my amuse-bouche reaction. This episode was fun and spicy.
My amuse-bouche is fun and spicy, and it's... So I was like, oh, can't wait to hear it.
It's fun, it's spicy, and it's... I loved it.
Okay, I love that. My takeaway here is I am just reflecting on how much I love the concept of immunity, especially early on in the show.
Go on.
I just love what it does to the episode. Like the it just keeps things interesting in a very it's an expected and known kind of variable, and yet I love it every time.
And it also kind of is interesting that in season 21, they changed the way immunity works.
Right.
For, I think, this exact reason. Now, I don't think that there's anything wrong with the fact that if you get immunity in the quick fire, you know, kind of have it easier when it comes to the elimination challenge, and that, like, you can either take a big swing or you can play it safe or any of these things. But in season 21, they changed immunity so that whoever wins the elimination challenge has immunity for the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which changes the strategy of the chefs. So
how do we feel? How are you feeling about this? Now that we've, you know, we covered the latest season, now we're back kind of in the old ways.
I mean, I don't feel like we have enough data points to really understand how it changes the show. I love the Top Chef formula. I don't feel that it needs changing. I like when they shake it up, but I'm not sitting here being like, I need this to feel different. Like, I'm not bored of it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think it was an unnecessary change, but I don't really care. Like, I'm not worked up about it.
I respect that. I do think that there is something seeing immunity back kind of parked on the quickfire that it just feels like a little bit more movie magic, or like just TV, like exciting for TV. You know, because there is that more of a bit of randomness, and you know, there's certain people that are going to be stronger.
It, like, by the time you get to the elimination challenge of the following episode, and you're like, oh yeah, like that person won immunity last week.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you're sort of like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah, like it loses its impact on the competition, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It dilutes its effectiveness.
Yeah, we'll need to see how we're feeling about it.
Yeah, we'll put an asterisk on this and we'll talk about it 2022 or season
2022.
What a good year. 2022 was a good year.
It was a good year.
But let's get into the episode. Yeah. So rise and shine, chefs. It's 4:30 in the morning and you're going to Pike Place Market. Famous for fish throwing.
4:30 in the morning. Do you know where your Top Chef is?
Slinging groceries. So the chefs arrive at Pike Place Market and they are told to please put yourself into groups of two. So finally they get to pick their own teams.
Yeah. Which is fun. With a little bit of like understanding of who's around them too.
Exactly. But also like, another team challenge?
Yeah.
Oh, it's enough with the team challenges. Yeah. It's enough.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're told that like hundreds of workers come to Pike Place Market every day and they need to eat too because they work really hard. So make them breakfast, but it has to be on a stick. And you have to buy your own kitchen equipment.
Oh, yes. The best. The zinger. I love this era of Top Chef where they make them do stupid shit like this. Like, remember that one episode where they had to like fish for their own fish?
Yes.
That was like a finale, I think.
That was a finale. And there is one person who gets zero. And like the penalty if you don't catch your own fish is like you have to use this like shitty fish.
Yeah.
I think that was honestly, knowing what we know now about Tom Colicchio after having interviewed a lot of people who work with him and gone to his book talk, like I think he was just looking for a way to get production to pay for him to go on a fishing trip.
Yeah, that's a really good guess, actually.
Like, I think he's like, in all these years, we've never gone fishing. It's time to go fishing.
Well, speaking of people that are absolutely out of their element, something is in the air this episode. It wasn't so much in the quickfire here. We had a guest judge, Daisley Gordon. He's a local chef of Marche. He owns two restaurants at Pike Place at the time of the filming of the season. All right, we have people pairing off. Let's talk through our pairs here. So we've got Bart and Sheldon. We've got Brooke and Stefan, who we learned actually know each other from
yeah,
the
I was
LA
like,
food
oh,
scene.
Curveball.
Yeah, very much a curveball. Tyler and CJ, Danielle, Lizzie, Eliza and Josie. Mm-hmm.
Lee.
This is a little bit of the like invisible hand of production, but like Josh and John. And then we have Micah and Kristen. I loved the Micah-Kristen pairing.
Yeah, that was a good pairing because they're both young guns.
Yeah,
and like,
let's do this, let's do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What other pairings were you enjoying?
I loved Sheldon and Bart. Was like an
yeah, right? Like I wasn't expecting that.
Anything Sheldon does, I'm going to be like, that was my favorite one.
Yeah, Bart ate shit this episode too. He like wiped out. And then I'm pretty sure that's how the panini broke.
Yeah, I think he broke the panini press.
Yeah,
but he also, like, there was a really funny moment because they were running and, like, I couldn't tell if he was joking or not, but he and CJ entered the doorway of Sur La Table at the same time. And I think that Bart sort of jokingly was trying to get past CJ, but then it wasn't a joke. And CJ's just – and Bart's tall, but CJ is – really fucking tall.
Yeah.
And like Bart could not get past him. Like CJ just took up the whole door frame and was like, what are you doing? Like he's like looking down at him like he's his kid brother. Like, what are you doing here?
Boink. Yeah, get out of here.
It was like when like someone like puts their hand on your head and you like try
yeah,
to punch
yeah, yeah, just punching around. I thought Brooke and Stefan also were like pretty interesting. I just like both of them individually. Like
Yeah.
It says a lot, I think, about like both of them individually that the other respects the, you know, the other
yes.
one somehow.
Yes, I know exactly.
People that were not maybe set up for success. Eliza and Josie, so let's talk food a little bit. So they ended up on a ricotta raspberry and sausage pancake. They were the only ones that kind of, honestly, if it were me, I probably would have done what they did. They like literally layered it like that, like
yeah,
a true parfait
on
a stick. Yeah. Like a 20 layer sandwich with a stick through it.
I don't know why they had to add the sausage.
Yeah.
It was weird, right?
Yeah.
I didn't like the sound of it.
I don't know. I'm
surprised that no one did like a waffle, which has like structural intent, like everyone chose foods with zero structural integrity.
Yeah, that one, like a ricotta pancake of
all
pancakes.
There are breakfast foods that can go on a stick.
Yeah.
And I know the guy was like, just sausage on a stick isn't going to work, but that's okay. Like it could have put like pieces of pancake or like French toast.
Yeah.
With like a nice
French toast bites.
Like a nice garnish of fruit. Like, and you could have held it horizontally, but it would have been on the stick.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. I didn't think of that. Like, you didn't necessarily need to eat from the tap. They didn't say you got to eat from the tap.
They never said you had to.
It's like when you see those things on Instagram, it's like, how would a horse wear pants? You know? That's what we're talking about here. How would you eat this?
Or my favorite one is, how would Toad wear a hat? And it's yeah. like, does it go over the whole mushroom or just the top of the mushroom?
Oof. I don't
know. There's also, how would the earth wear pants? Which is like the whole earth. It's a funny one. It's a flat earth joke.
I got to learn how to wear pants. Sounds like.
Yeah. Note to self. Figure it out.
New Year's resolution. Okay. Speaking of structural integrity, I would say that the most structurally sound if we were to say would probably go to Danielle and Lizzie, who basically just put fruit on a stick
with bacon.
Pancetta. Yeah. Yeah,
are we counting pancetta as bacon? I think we need to decide right now, because here's what I'll say. I know you said no last episode, but hear me out. I think this was the era of bacon on everything, and
yeah.
to try to make it more sophisticated, they called it
pancetta,
but that was a strip of bacon on that stick.
I'll allow it. I think
yes!
you're right. Yeah, I think
okay, I'm adding it to the bacon counter.
Bacon counter.
Okay, so we got bacon in episode 5. Okay. So here are some of the dishes we saw, because we actually have only spoken about one at this moment in time. So we had Danielle and Lizzie making their summer berry with crispy pancetta, aka bacon. We had CJ and Tyler did salmon on a stick with crepe and arugula cream cheese. Like, that was a whoa, 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 crazy, but it held together well.
Yeah.
So good on them.
Good on them.
Then we have, okay, so I'm going to skip Josie and Eliza for a sec. We can talk about it. Josie and Eliza made a sausage and pancake on a stick, ricotta raspberry sausage on a pancake. I wrote this like three times.
Well, we just talked about that. That's what I'm saying, is like 20 stack sandwich.
Yeah, but it also fell off the stick. Like, Padma literally dropped it on the ground. So that wasn't too great.
Not good.
We also saw that Josie and Eliza like really weren't getting along. This was a surprising like beef.
Yeah. Well, I think Josie's just a lot for anybody. And Eliza, I love that we got a little glimpse. Was it this episode where we get a glimpse of Eliza, that she like sold sushi out of a van while following widespread panic on tour? I know all I need to know now. I don't need any more talking heads.
She was doing van life before social media even existed. Yeah.
So I can understand why a person like that would not get along with a person like Josie.
Yeah, I think but I also feel like there has to be something behind the scenes where like the two of them have had some sort of dust up or like disagreement.
Yeah, maybe.
Like right out of the gate, like some animosity.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And anyway, so they, you know, flopped with their pancakes, unfortunately.
Surprisingly, though, on the similar, like, okay, we got beef, but they pulled it together, Josh and John.
Yeah,
they did chilaquiles, like breakfast taco, scrambled quail egg, and avocado.
Yep.
Theirs was really good. They were in the top of this challenge. The seasoning was good.
I love a chilaquiles. I really do.
And them, along with Bart and Sheldon, actually were the top.
Yep. Bart and Sheldon did a pancetta, aka bacon, spinach, cheese, panini, which everyone really liked. It was like a Green Goddess breakfast sandwich.
Delish.
Yum.
And then, not surprising, the people we kind of already like dunked on, Danielle, Lizzie, and then Eliza, Josie, were on the bottom.
Yep.
Danielle and Lizzie's, it just like wasn't a breakfast. End of story.
Yeah, it was like it looked like a carnival snack.
It was fruit salad.
You get. But yeah, so we see Sheldon and Bart getting immunity for elimination challenge.
And boy, did they need it.
Boy, did they need it.
Boy, did everybody need
Everyone it. Everyone needed needed immunity on this elimination challenge. Okay. Can we talk about the challenge to begin with? So we have a knife draw, my favorite thing in the world. And each of these pairs of chefs have to create a dish highlighting the ingredient that they drew on a knife. And those ingredients are all found at, don't you know it, Pike Place Market.
Hey.
And they have 2 hours to shop for, prepare, and execute their dishes that they will be serving at lunch at Marche at Pike Place Market. This felt like a quick fire to me. I know that two hours is long for a quick fire, but to have to shop and cook, they only had 1 hour to cook. They had 1 hour to shop and 1 hour to cook.
Right. It was very quick fire adjacent. Yeah.
Very quick fire adjacent. And like, here's the thing. Spoiler alert. Everyone did poorly this episode. There was not a single dish that was good that came out of this elimination challenge. And like, I was actually joking the other day about an accounting professor that I had, and like, everyone failed the final. If everyone failed the final, maybe you're not a great teacher.
Yeah.
If everyone did poorly on the challenge, maybe the challenge was poorly designed.
Let's talk about like the specifics of the fare that they had.
Yes.
And we had a good old fashioned knife draw. And the other thing here is like that they then had to serve this dish featuring that. Did we state the challenge outright? So group staying in the same team, they have to make a dish that highlights the ingredient that they pull. That is like an artisanal offering. And then they're going to serve it to those like artisans. Okay. Bart and Sheldon had salmon candy. Brooke and Stefan, rose petal jelly. Tyler and CJ, spicy pickles. Danielle, Lizzie, curry milk chocolate. Eliza and Josie, cardamom bitters. Josh and John, truffle popcorn. And then Micah and Kristen with cheese curds. Nancy, in your estimation, like, what were of those listed, like, what were actually truly horrible to have to work with, if any?
Salmon candy and the rose petal jam, I think, were the two really difficult ingredients to work with. Everything else, I am not a chef, but I think a talented chef would figure out what to do with.
I completely agree. And I, to your point on, you know, is it the professor, is it the challenge? I am like, I'm also a little shocked. None of these are that complex to work with. Truffle popcorn.
Yeah.
Like, break it up, sprinkle it on something, whatever. Cheese curd, no, next question.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like with this group, it's like everybody does well or everybody does horribly. Like, they all, there was like something in the air that they were all breathing that they're like, okay, let's all be. And maybe it's the time. Maybe it was the time constraint. I just don't know how you put out what they put out. And honestly, like, they started their day at like 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Is it just like, I'm tired and I just cooked a meal and now I'm having to cook another one? And like, is that what we get for those constraints, to your point on? I'm just trying to rationalize like how you get the food that you get so unilaterally.
Even less so than the time constraint on this, in terms of like time to cook. I think what made this really quick fire adjacent was they didn't have time to conceptualize their dish.
Yeah.
Like, a very consistent theme this entire season is like the chefs are not getting any time to like think about the food that they're making.
Yeah.
They're just like on autopilot.
Yeah.
And like, we have Tom and Emerald dictating a menu. We have Canlis literally handing them a menu from 1950. And then here, like, it's one thing if you get 2 hours to shop and cook. They can figure out how to do that. But it's that there was absolutely no time to even think about the dish in those
chill.
2 hours. Normally they get like 30 minutes in the Top Chef kitchen and then we're going in Whole Foods and then you're coming back here and you have an hour to cook and then tomorrow you have an hour to cook. Like, 2 hours is not my problem. It's how little – the difference to me between an elimination challenge and a quick fire is the ability to sit and think about your dish.
Yeah.
And they were not given that opportunity. And they haven't been given that opportunity. So I feel like this whole season we have yet to see anyone cook their food.
Great point.
Or blow anyone away because they're not being given any freedom here.
Yeah. This is like a gauntlet, like a constant drum.
So I think like it is amazing that they were able to – create like something out of salmon candy in this amount of time.
Right.
So let's talk about the dishes that they actually made.
Yeah.
Let's start with Kristen and Micah, because they're at the top of my list. They got cheese curds, delicious, absolutely tasty. And they are being added to the counter for making cheese curds three ways.
Ugh.
And what's funny is consistently, if anyone makes anything X number of ways, the feedback is always do it one way well.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
No one has ever evaded that trap ever.
Yeah. Oh, I'm actually really glad you did it three different ways. Like, I've never heard that. and that's what they hear at the table. They're like, I like each piece individually, but doesn't work together. Romesco is overpowering.
They lost the cheese curd.
Boom. Roasted. Next up, let's talk the truffle popcorn. This was the one that I was most surprised that they fucked up because to me, it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's a texture, like work with the texture of it.
They also like, while they did not have any disagreements, like they had no drama the way like Josie and Eliza clearly disagreed about how things should go and they let it be known. But John and Josh were sort of just like waiting for the other one to – it was pure sabotage there.
Yeah.
Like they just wanted the other one to fuck up and they're like, I'm not going to tell him that he's doing it wrong because I wanted to take the fall for it.
And this is – we're talking Josh and John. And they made a pork and grits with truffle popcorn and white truffle sauce. Mm-hmm. Yes,
Tom
Nancy.
Kind of had the insult of the century on this one.
Lay it out.
Tom said, quote – one sec – it looks like someone who has to feed their family and really hates cooking made this dish.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, and like their thing, you know, and this was a trend too. We had this with Tyler and CJ we had it a bit with Eliza and Josie, like, talking heads. They were saying how they're disagreeing with what their counterpart is doing, but they don't want to start any drama. So where that person seems to be really sure of themselves. Like, if we jump to Tyler and CJ, they're infamous, like, spicy pickles on a burger, on a crumpet.
Why did they pick a crumpet?
Gross. I don't know. Like, and CJ, you know, he gives the like soundbite of like, I can just hear like Tom in my head saying like, CJ, it's a pickle. Just put it on a burger.
Honestly, I was with him on that one.
And
you know, agree. Who else was? Padma Lakshmi.
Yeah, because she laughs.
Padma was like, you're right. He would have done that. And you know what? Tom laughed too. And I think here's the thing. If regardless of if he chose to do the simple route or the complicated route, if he did it poorly, Tom would have been like, it's a pickle.
Yeah.
But if he had done the burger really well, he would not have gotten that feedback from Tom. That like it wasn't interesting.
Agree.
So yeah, dear listener, you are noticing that there is literally no positive feedback on any one of these dishes.
Dunking. Boom. So roasted.
Don't hold your breath. Yeah. Boom. Roasted. Okay, let's move on.
Oh, and then we get also the quote though at judges. Oh, well, I'll save that for the judges' table. Yeah, let's save
that. This is a judges' table for the century.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Okay, so let's move. Oh, can we just actually linger on the pickle for a second? That would be the best one to pick. It's a pickle.
It's a pickle. What I and not to put you on the spot because I have the same question for myself. Like, what would I do that
I
wasn't?
I would have made like a delicious pickle relish. And like put it on either like a really nicely constructed sandwich or like on a sausage, like a Chicago style hot dog vibe.
That would be good.
And like it would really make the pickle sing. Or like, oh my God. Just Or you could like mix it with yogurt. I don't know. You could do a ton with pickles.
Yeah, it's interesting. And it's even like just that like slight manipulation of the pickle. Cause you're describing similarly, like it's still a condiment. Like it's still like dressing up the main event. But yeah, no, it's that. I know that. I also just like want spicy pickles. Sounds good.
Yeah, I think I need to go get some pickles after this episode.
Let's chat through our immunity boys. So Bart and Sheldon, they pull the salmon candy, which I think is actually the worst.
The worst.
They make a salad with cucumber and rhubarb. I don't even know how to think about this. So
Have you ever eaten rhubarb raw?
No.
Neither have I.
I feel, is it like celery adjacent, maybe?
I think it's like Swiss chard adjacent.
Okay, okay. Yeah, a little bit more earth.
Earthy.
They liked the salmon mousse. They wanted more salmon candy, which I did not think I would hear.
No one wants more salmon candy.
And I love that as this stuff is getting eaten at the table, they're like, I'm so sorry. You know, they're like apologizing to artisans and stuff. And like, or, you know, when Josh and John's like truffle popcorn, they're like, I wish that there was like another, like, I wish they didn't like also have other truffle. And then, or no, I'm sorry.
The
I'm
chocolate.
Thinking of, yeah, the chocolate.
It was like,
yeah.
I was pretty offended that they used other chocolates. It's like, bitch, they're not only using curry chocolate in this dish. Like, that is not possible.
So they did a coconut curry chocolate mousse tart.
That's Danielle and Lizzie.
Yeah.
To be clear. Interestingly, Lizzie wanted to do a savory dish with the chocolate. She wanted to make some sort of, like, fish curry.
Yeah.
Which I actually think would sound delicious. Like, I add chocolate to my chili. I think adding, like, a curry chocolate to curry would be really rich and delicious.
Yeah, or like a mole, like an interesting.
Ooh, could have made a mole.
Could have made a mole.
But instead, they made a coconut curry milk chocolate tart with orange tea syrup. This thing looked like a hockey puck.
Yeah, not, doesn't look good. I don't want it.
I don't want that.
All right. In the vein of other aromatics, perhaps. We had the cardamom bitters. That was Eliza and Josie. They did a curry cardamom broth with manila clams and white king salmon. Josie, just big old bulldozer. And they had sand
in the
dish.
She didn't like the peach stew that Eliza made.
Yeah.
And the judges didn't like any of it. They said it was way too salty. The mussels were not cleaned well in the soup. They all got like some dirt and grime.
Yeah.
So Boom, roasted. Boom. Okay. Last but not least, we have Brooke and Stefan, who got rose petal jam. Gross. Mm, truly, gross. It does. Like, Stefan was right when he was like, French women used to put this on their bodies in the 1500s when they smelled bad.
Like, this one, though, like, I think could have been very easy had they gone the dessert route.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
make a panna cotta. Yep. Like, do something that's, like, delicate and be done. Like, use, like, half a teaspoon of it and then be done.
Yes. But alas, they instead chose to do duck with stewed cabbage.
Ew.
And they put the jam in the cabbage and it was too sweet. They said it tasted like a dessert with duck in it.
God. That actually sounds the worst.
The worst.
Oh my God, dude. This all, on the whole, like, super cringe. You could tell, like, the artisans were just sort of like, wow, like, that sucks for them. You know, they probably told their whole family, like, oh, I'm going to be on Top Chef. There's like, whatever. And then they just absolutely botch it.
And we see this, like, barrage of apologies from Tom, Padma, and all the judges at the table being like, we're so sorry. The food is never this bad. Like, we were not expecting this. They've been really good in the past few episodes.
I swear. Yeah.
And the judges were very gracious. Or the artisans were very gracious. But we get what is kind of one of the biggest, like,
oof,
shifts in Top Chef history.
Daddy's mad.
Daddy is mad. Tom Colicchio walks himself into the stew room where they are stewing. By the way, they all thought that they had crushed it.
Yeah, like, that's so embarrassing.
I don't think anyone there was like, I don't think we did well.
I think that maybe Bart and Sheldon didn't think they did well.
Yeah, but they had immunity. So
yeah, like, so they're like, fine.
They have the privilege of being honest.
Yeah, entertain those thoughts. Yeah.
Exactly. But so Tom walks in and he lays down the fucking law. Oh, something that we should note is that there were $10,000 on the table for this challenge.
Yeah.
And Tom was like, I would feel bad giving out money for any of those performances. Like, none of those performances deserve money.
Woof.
Whoa.
Quote, we were really disappointed today. Food was not up to par. Lack of imagination and technique, for the most part, pretty bad. End quote. Oh. So no winner. No winner, no cash money.
Not only is there no winner, but also there will be a double elimination.
Two losers.
I think they were initially just going to send one person home, and then they're like, nah, all of you had equal parts in making this meal terrible. So your whole team's going home.
You gotta go.
Yep. And so, judges table will be tomorrow.
Yes. 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 That's what I was talking about last time when I was like, I think there's one on the horizon. Yes. Cruel.
Why do you think they did it that way? Do you think judges table was always going to be the next day?
I wonder if there's, like, BTS reasons, like, they needed to confirm that they could eliminate two people, or they needed to, like, do some, like, not crowd control, but, like, manage any fallout. I don't know, with, like, the art, or just make them sweat. Who knows? Like, they just wanted to, like, put him in the house and film some shit and just juice this for all it's worth is probably the most likely.
And film did they ever. They're all bugging out at the apartment.
Yeah. Sucks.
We see this very, like, low stakes and unnecessary disagreement between Tyler and Josh.
Yeah.
Where Tyler was essentially, I think he was saying, you know, like, I tried, and if it's my time to go home, then I'll, like, I think he was saying, like, I'll be mature about this. Like, I can intellectually understand why I might be sent home for that dish. And Josh was like, how dare you talk like that? You should be fighting for this. It was the Tyra Banks. We were all rooting for you.
Yeah. I don't know. People handle that stuff differently. I think I definitely subscribe to the Tyler school of thought. But
it was just a weird thing to get really upset about.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, we get to judge's table.
Talk to me about it. Who's down there?
We got Brooke and Stefan, CJ and Tyler, and Josh and John. Mm. You want to say what the judges said about their food?
So, all right, Josh and John, they get to throw each other under the bus real quick.
Yep.
You know, Josh is saying John suggested the idea. we get the line, like, looks like someone, you know, hates really cooking. Hates
cooking made this.
There was no presentation in artistry, which 1000% I agree with. Like, even that jumped out to me as I'm watching them plate this food. It was like so single, monotone, like monochromatic. It just like didn't look appetizing whatsoever.
I believe Hugh Atchison said the grits sucked.
Oh, right. Cause he like makes them all the time. Bad. Yeah, and they just, like, I don't know what happened there. You know, Josh, both of them just pulled punches all day, and then they ended up with something that, like, neither of them were really that into, and
yep. Oh, that's kind of it. And then we have Brooke and Stefan, who just kind of got torn apart for the cabbage being, like, incredibly sweet. Brooke yeah. did get a little for the duck being, like, having no seasoning on it, essentially. But the duck was well cooked.
Yeah. Yeah, the glaze was good,
the protein said. Was cooked properly. So, but they were like, Stefan kept being like, well, I did everything I should do to it, so it should have worked. And the judges were like, but it didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So, like, what do you have to say about that?
And then last but not least, CJ and Tyler with their burger pickle burger, a.k.a. just a burger with pickles on it.
On a crumpet.
And
he didn't even seem to have any sauce, by the way.
No, on a crumpet. Yeah, the crumpet thing is the craziest to me. Just like Sog City, dude. Yes. Like absolute disintegration of bread apparatus. There was something that, like, I think Gail posited. Or no, I guess it was Tom when he said, you know, CJ saying, like, we're trying to figure out, like, what goes well with pickle. And Tom was like, no, you need to reframe that to, like, what we can make with pickle.
Yes.
And that was sort of their fatal flaw. You know, we hear again CJ kind of like assert, I could just hear Tom in my head saying, like, just keep it simple. And Gail's sort of like, we always want creative, like, this yeah. is Top Chef. And we get a pretty explosive exchange between, like, you know, CJ having this, like, I want to say one more thing, you know, like, as they're leaving the kitchen, and he's like, he starts dunking on the dessert. Was it the dessert he's dunking on? Yeah,
the milk chocolate tart. He's like, I'm sorry, did you really think that that tart could be, like, at all good? It was a mess. Like, he starts really.
And the tart's not even in the bottom.
The tart's not even in the bottom. And Hugh Atchison, with, like, split second reaction time, goes, uh-oh, because your burger was even worse. Like, he's saying, like, you're calling out something that you think is bad, but I hate to break it to you, but you did worse than the thing you thought was bad.
That is how bad it is. And
it was an incredible comeback. And they all,
like,
laugh.
Like, it was kind of like, you know, it could have been more tense. Everybody kind of had a good sense of humor about it. But, like, yeah, dude, he was, like, really – and they end up going home. But I want to talk about them – I want to talk about that. Like,
okay.
Okay. Thank you for holding space.
Holding space.
Do you really think it should have been them? Do you think it should have been them? Is there anybody else that, like, I'm going to be honest. I think
all of them could have gone home.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, I part of me thinks even that, how was the cook on Josh and John's?
I think from a personality standpoint, I wanted Josh and John to go home.
Yeah.
Only because, like, they both, like, I think got in their own way by thinking and, that they were, like, being more mature than the other. But they were both being incredibly immature.
It is interesting, though, that, like, the same thing befell Brooke and Stefan as CJ and Tyler, which is, like, they fully were bought into the vision. Actually, they were worse because they both were bought into the vision. Whereas, like, in CJ and Tyler's case, like, only one of them was, you know, and Tyler was, like, being a good sport.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that I would, like, change the answer, but it is kind of – yeah, there was a lot of bad food. So I'm curious to know, like, how hard of a decision this was.
It has to have been hard because I think truly any of these pairs could have gone home for whatever, for the dish that they made. And I think that these – yes, like, uh-oh, but your burger was even worse. Like, I do think that in the judge's opinion, these were the worst of the worst, but they were all the worst.
Yeah.
And so, well, I think, you know, it's always tough to see. He's the first all-star to go home, so that's got to be, like, a big ego – blow.
And this was a split decision too. Remember, they were like, going, yes. Gail ended up breaking it. How were they split? Like, what was there another dish? Yep. What was the other dish?
Well, so Hugh said that he thought the burger should go home.
Yeah.
Padma said she thought the jelly, the rose jelly, mm-hmm, should go home. Tom said CJ and Tyler's pork. And Gail was the deciding vote. She clearly thought the burger was the most offensive.
Okay. Yeah, wow. Could have been a very different story for Brooke.
And they said this was the majority. This was not unanimous, but it was a majority decision.
Yeah. That's true. It wasn't split. Okay. So crumpet burger with pickle.
I'd eat it.
Yeah, so would I. I've had soggy burgers. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, it needs some sort of like mayo-based sauce on
there.
Yeah,
put some condiments on though.
Or like even cheese, something to like – it looks so dry. That crumpet, oh my God, it looked disgusting. But I still would eat it because it wasn't offensive to me. It's just like the wrong choice.
Wrong. So let's talk a bit about where both of these guys are today. So I'll start with Tyler because I actually had a hard time finding a ton of information about him. I saw an update way back in 2020 so he's based in Denver. And at the time, there was a hotel that was opening in Parker, Colorado. The hotel had one more restaurant. That restaurant is the West Main Tap Room and Grill, which Tyler was the opening executive chef for. I'm not sure if he's still there. That was like last we saw him, but he's pretty quiet on the internet for those chronically online. On the other hand, Chef CJ Jacobson, aka at Big Siege on Instagram. He's been out and about. He's now the chef partner at Abba and Ama. Apologies for mispronunciation there. As a part of the Let Us Entertain You restaurants.
We love a pun.
Let Us Entertain You. Love that. These are restaurants concepts focused on light Mediterranean style cooking. Abba actually recently opened its third location in Miami, with the other locations in Austin and Chicago. So he is based in Chicago.
Great.
Studio City, California. After that, he was brought in as the first chef in residence at Intro in Chicago. That got 3 stars from the Chicago Tribune. So he's kept busy. He didn't have a ton of like call outs to his Top Chef time, but like he's got a lot going on.
Wow.
So that's our chef testings for episode 5. Judgy table, like what to judge? What's going
what
on?
What not to judge?
That's
do
for sure.
Do you have a judgy table?
I do.
Okay. Let me put. I don't have my phone.
I got a timer.
Okay, you got it.
Okay, this is my judgy table. My time starts now. Paninis. I think they're stupid. Don't press my sandwich. Now I can't taste any of it. The bread's gone. What was the point of even having it? It's just like fully – it's just like a – just give me a tortilla then. Like, it's not bread. I don't like certain things melted. I don't need like a cheese melt on a sandwich, like a turkey sandwich. I don't like that. I want my like cold cuts, colds. And I want my cheese cold. And if I want like a hot sandwich, I'll get like a croque madame or like a croque monsieur, like, or grilled cheese. Like, I don't know. It just feels like you're trying to give me grilled cheese with other shit in it. And then you're like pressing the life out of the bread and to the point where it doesn't even know what it was anymore. So that's my judgy table for today. I'm glad that we didn't see any, but I just wanted to call it out because
we did. Sheldon and Bart. Panini,
oh, they
their
did.
Sandwich.
Ugh. Okay.
And I could
and they won.
Not agree with you more, Bits. Oh my God. In general, I don't need my sandwich to be hot.
I agree. Yeah.
Like if it is meant to be hot, like a grilled cheese. But I find actually that like really buttery toasted bread rips the top of your mouth apart
when you bite
into it.
Yeah.
And that is like a really detracts from the enjoyment of a sandwich. Like yeah. I like when I'm doing a nothing fancy, a turkey, lettuce, tomato, cheddar, like I want that cheddar.
I'll only lightly toast for a BLT. you know, for that reason of RIP.
Yes. The RIP factor. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God.
Thank you for your support.
I'm really happy that you brought that up. That was a really good judgy table. I literally don't even know where to go from there because yours was so
good.
So good.
Panini's at my place. All right. You ready?
No. Give me 1 second. I'm just going to like spin the wheel and rant about something. Okay. I kind of have one.
All right. This is Nancy's judgy table starting now.
I think that we're slowly going to get towards my hatred of the Pacific Northwest because today we're going to talk about fashion of the mid-aughts. There were some outfits on the people in attendance in like the first the quickfire challenge. I was like, oh my God, do you remember articles in the New York Times about like hipster culture? Like there was definitely one girl who had like the pinup haircut and like, and there was another person or one of the artisans had like gauges in his ears and was wearing sort of like, remember when bartenders were like mixologists for a minute?
No doubt.
And like wore suspenders and like really played into like the prohibition era. Like yeah,
prohibition was so hot.
It was so hot. Anyway, I just like the fashion at this time that I was hook, line, and sinker part of is so heinous. And I am existentially afraid that Gen Alpha or whatever comes after Gen Z is going to revive this style. And we're going to be in for a world of hurt. We're talking bubble dresses over jeans. We're talking like, oh, there were a lot of girls wearing big feathered statement earrings. I'm going.
I was one of those. Me. I had the that.
I had
that
feather
was it.
Earrings.
Yeah.
I had feather earrings. Just wait until the skull scarf comes back. That's
I honestly
how you
think
know we're in for it.
The more egregious thing for me for that time period is like the stomp clap music that went along with all of it. Like the Mumford and Sons.
Oh, the hey
like
ho.
Edward Sharpe.
Yeah.
Like, hey ho, Lumineer shit. Like, yep. And like, look, will I put on one every once in a while? Sure. But like on the whole, that as a culture disgusts me.
Yeah, let's leave that one in the past. We do not need to revive it. Anyways, okay, so that's my judgy table.
That's our episode. We are just cruising through this. So as Nancy said at the top of the app or at some point in her life, if you're enjoying us, please leave a rating or a review. Follow us on Instagram at compliments to the chef pod. And just say, hey there. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.